I really want to look at prayer too in two ways. I want to think of prayer in relation to the worship meeting. I think how important. What if someone has done something for you, and it's the most wonderful thing that anyone ever has done for you? Would you not want to thank him for having done so? Isn't that wonderful? This is the aspect of prayer when we think of worship, that we are returning thanks to this one who is in the midst for what he has done for us. That's one thing. We're also speaking to him about the glory of his person, how much we appreciate him. We might, in a particular meeting, have the theme before us of his walk. And as we have seen the hymns that have gone by that day in the meeting, we see the Lord Jesus in his perfection as he walks here. And we want, in the expression of our lips, to say to him, this is what we feel about you. We want to tell him that we love him. Young people, what an important part of our life. And I think this is not something that's reserved for older brethren in a meeting. We sometimes leave it that way. You found when you were in this room on Lord's Day, I don't know whether anybody prayed but the older brethren. Yesterday, there were a few more. Today, there are a number of brethren that prayed today, young brethren. You'll find it's that way in your local meeting. You'll also find, as the Lord would direct, what an encouragement it is to older brothers and sisters. When they hear you rising upon your feet, they've seen your walk in your life, and they hear you thanking the Lord for what he has done for you. You are then the mouthpiece of that assembly, speaking with your lips what is the expression of the hearts of all those that are gathered there. But then there's the other aspect of prayer that John has brought out, and that is the recognition that I cannot go through this world on my own. Lord, I need your help. And as you get a little older and you get married, you have children. You have various responsibilities. You have a job, the situation that you've mentioned. What a wonderful thing. He's interested in all of this. He's interested in everything about us. He is saying to us, will you take time to commune with me about these things? Do you know somebody that you would like to see saved? Would you like to talk with me about them? I'll open a door for you. I'll show you the way. I know what is behind the next curve. I know what's beyond the bend. I'm here for you every day. Well, here it was the public prayer meeting. We're mingling public with private. I know that. Here, how is this assembly sustained? How is this fellowship, this continuing in doctrine, in this breaking of bread sustained? Why, it's through this prayer meeting, isn't it?
I want to say one thing to encourage those people that are skittish to pray, that don't feel comfortable. When you pray, you're asking someone for help or you're thanking them for something that they've done. If you're just going to talk to someone, you don't use gigantic words and you don't have to be all fancy in it. You just say what you mean, and you don't have to be, you don't have to put on a show. It's not like, if you're going to talk to the president, you're going to go up there and you're going to try to act, important or whatever. But if you're going to talk to like one of your friends or someone that's done something for you, and you're really thankful for that, you're just going to say, I thank you for what you've done, and I appreciate it. And really, we don't have, that's all we have to do for the Lord. We just say what's in our hearts. We thank him for what he's done for us. We praise him, and it doesn't have to be long.
When the 10 lepers were healed by the Lord, only one turned around. And what did he say? Thank you, Lord. Very simple, but only one. Where were the other nine?
But just the assembly prayer meeting again, and Chuck touched on that. And especially now, you are young peoples. And usually you are in a meeting on Sunday morning, on Lord's Day morning. But then comes the midweek meeting and the prayer meeting, and the majority of you are not there. let's have a purpose in our heart that, Lord willing, when we go home from here, that we will make an effort to be present in the meeting. You see, the only local assembly that I know that doesn't have a prayer meeting is the Assembly of Laodicea. I don't think these people had a prayer meeting. You know why? They said that we're rich, we're increased with good, and we are in need of nothing. And you are actually, when you do not pray and you are not in a prayer meeting, you're probably not saying it, but a man who cries for help is a man who needs help. A man doesn't cry for help, a man doesn't need help. And I am fearful that we are living in society where we are very comfortable. We have everything we need. In your local assembly, you might have brethren. You might have Brother Tony, Brother John, Brother Chuck. They could handle matters. They could do things. You know, why should I get bothered with anything? You could be in a prayer meeting. And you could pray. Encourage them. How much, Chuck said, how much these brethren who are in the front line doing things need encouragement. And how easy they get discouraged. You might not see it. But how easy they get down and when they get attacked. But you need to be there praying for them. And encouraging them. And they are there to encourage you. Being in a prayer meeting in the local assembly, it really gives you an indication of the healthy condition, of the spiritual condition of a local assembly, is a prayer meeting. Yes. It's not the breaking of the bread. It's the prayer meeting that tells you how is that local assembly is, how is its health condition. So it's important for you young brothers and young sisters to be in a prayer meeting, joining with the saints of God, and praying and asking for help. Because again, remember, it's a body. It is connected with the head. Right? It is connected with the head. How is that body function? He gets an instruction from the head. The head is in heaven. That's the headquarter. If you are in the army, you need to have a line of communication with the headquarter. The local assembly on earth need to have a line of communication with the headquarter in heaven. What do they do in war? What happened in that part of Lebanon when they start attacking Hezbollah there? What is the first thing they attack? Anybody knows?
Their headquarters.
Yeah, the headquarters. Where was? What was in that headquarters? The communication line. Yep. That was the communication. The TV station and the communication line. The first thing they attack is they attack the communication line. So they cut the communication between the headquarters and the troop. And that's what Satan tried to do. He tried to attack that communication line, the prayer meeting. So there is no communication between the headquarters and the troop. That head is in heaven. You need to have the prayer meeting to communicate with the head what's going on in the battlefield and get instruction from the word of God and what you need to do. That's why it's vitally important to be in a prayer meeting, and that's why Satan tried to discourage you from not being in a prayer meeting. He's trying to cut that communication line.
Would you also agree with me that that's also the first stepping stone to eventually totally leaving by not going, deciding not to go to a meeting? Because I've seen it even in our assembly where they'll decide not to come to the prayer meeting in the middle of the week. And they'll say, well, since I'm not going to that meeting, why should I go to the Sunday night meeting? And then they'll just show up for the breaking of bread. And then they won't even show up for that. So if you decide, well, I'm going to go to these meetings and then I'm not going to go to this meeting, it's Satan working on you to say, I'm not going to go at all.
For those that were looking for a break, I apologize that we got going here and we just missed it. We'll do better tomorrow, we promise.